friends and family, members of the community, within the healing embrace of God's love, we have gathered here on this 22nd day of December to remember and offer back to God the life of Joyce Kern, and to thank God for the hope we have because of Christ's resurrection. A few announcements as we get started. If you have not already done so, this is an excellent time to silence your cell phones, please. And also, the family would like to extend an invitation to everyone who has gathered here this morning to gather for lunch if you have time, or just simply to greet the family at Rick's Prime Rib just down the road. So the family will not be greeting folks here at the church, but do ask you to come share your stories about Joyce with them there. And now let us worship God and hear these words from Scripture. The book of John tells us, "I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." We come here in sorrow, seeking comfort in those words. We come here in hope, wanting to believe those words. And we come here in trust that Joyce now knows those words to be true. I invite you into this time of remembrance. This is a time to honor the life of Joyce Kern with our prayers, our reflections and stories, our laughter and tears, and most especially with our love. Please join me in a time of prayer. Holy God of Advent, you became weak so we would find strength in the moments of heartbreak. You left the safety of heaven to wander the wilderness of the world, holding our hands when we feel hopeless. You set aside your glory to hold our pain so we might be healed. Even when there seems to be no hope, you became one of us, so we would never be alone in any moment, in any circumstance. So come now, child of Bethlehem, to strengthen us in these days. May we feel your presence in a way we have never known, not just as one born in a stable long ago and far away, but as the one born into our hearts. And you have promised to go before us into our hurt, our brokenness, into empty houses around empty tables, into our future held by God, and you are here, even now waiting for each of us to serve us, to hold us, to comfort us, to heal and live in us now and forever. Amen. And if you would stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. For God so loved the world, the sparrows, the roses, and the people. For God so loved the world enough to become one of us in our joy and suffering. For God so loved the world, we have new life in Christ. For God so loved the world, let us worship God.
Good morning. I'm Philip Schott, and I'm Joyce's grandson. I'll be reading Psalm 23, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes to me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Morning. I am Greg Schott, Donna's husband, Joyce's son-in-law. It's a reading from the Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. Always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully. Even as I am fully known. And now three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of all these is love.
And our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. As we gather this morning, we gather in the lights and the greens of this Advent and Christmas season. It is the season in which we as Christians prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child. Now, it's always hard to lose someone we love, but at this time of year, losing someone close to our hearts has a way of adding another layer of grief upon our sadness. We remember Christmases past, and we yearn to have all those who we love around the table on Christmas Day. And in our personal darkness, when the whole world seems to be bathed in the holly jolly, we wonder if we'll ever truly feel the so-called Christmas spirit again. Yet it is the true spirit of Christmas that assures us we will not be overtaken by the darkness, that our lives will have light within them again. And we open ourselves to the promises of Advent and Christmas and allow them to flow through us. When we do that, we are wrapped in the comfort of God's love. For it is at this time of year God sent a baby into the world to assure us that the promises of eternal life are for us and for Joyce. God sent a baby into the simplest of places, an animal stable, to share the most complicated concept of all time, resurrected life. Today's gospel reading is taken from the prologue of the gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is where John's gospel begins, in the beginning. This is John's nativity story. It does not have shepherds or angels or even a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. In this nativity story, John takes us back to the very beginning. We hear the words of Genesis that in the beginning God created. God moved over chaos and darkness and said, "Let there be light." In John's gospel, from the very beginning was the Word. The Word who moved over the face of the deep, over the darkness, and spoke, "Let there be light." And the same God who was in the beginning that spoke the Word, this same God became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. John says what has come into being in him was life. The life was the light of all people, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Later, John's gospel will have Jesus echoing those same words, saying to his disciples that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And when we experience the light of Christ's love in our lives, we can't help but want to share it with others. And this is exactly what Joyce did. Joyce Kern was born September 23, 1933, to Fred and Pearl Norwood on a farm in Holly, New York. She joined her brothers and sisters, Fred and Ronnie, Jerry, Bill, and Evelyn, in sharing the household and farm chores until their move onto Elm Grove Road here in Rochester. There, Fred ran a neighborhood grocery store, and Joyce and her siblings continued to support the family business until one day she met and fell in love with the love of her life, Dick Kern. In a few moments, you'll hear more about that love story that nearly stalled out, but I'll let Donna tell you all about that. They married in the old church on Buffalo Road on opening day of deer season in 1953. I have no idea how Joyce talked Dick into that one, but he assured me that he was there on time and no one was wearing camouflage. The light of God's love shined through Joyce in all the ways she cared for and was a partner with Dick. giving birth and raising to 3 children, and then her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Joyce's face would literally light up anytime you asked her about her family. When making visits with her, I wouldn't have to be there long before she had piles of pictures spread out all over the kitchen table. And she would laugh and shake her head, telling me the stories about family gatherings, where now she would just watch you all chase after those little ones and laugh. What a great gift I know it was to her and to all of you, having Thanksgiving together. And while it must have been very difficult yesterday sharing in family Christmas, she would have been so proud you all were together. The God who takes on our flesh does not ignore the darkness, but shines in the very midst of it. As we take this time to remember and celebrate Joyce's life, may God's love illuminate the love she shared with all of us. May that light hold our pain so that we may be comforted. May we feel the presence of the Christ child in a way we have never known before, not just as one born in a stable long ago and far away, but as one born into our hearts, in our hopes, in our spirits, and in our grief. It is amazing to have all of you here this morning, and more so that her daughters and granddaughter are going to share more about her life in their words. I know their light and love will shine through. Donna.
Today we are here to remember and celebrate Joyce Kern. She was born Joyce Elfrida Norwood and had 4 brothers and 1 sister. They lived on a farm in Holly where hard physical labor was the norm. Joyce's sister was older and rarely around, so Joyce worked, played, and got into mischief with her brothers. This is where her competitive nature and never give up spirit formed. She learned early on that happiness came from within, and she loved life. Joyce always said that her life really began, though, the day that Richard walked into it. So this is where Joyce's life love story really began. The preface, Joyce, and I will call her Mom, 15-year-old, petite, 5'2", buxom, blue-eyed blonde, feisty, energetic, high-strung, strong-willed, detail-oriented, very neat, kind-hearted, faithful, and a lover of music. She played the organ, piano, and trumpet. Richard, Dad, at the time was 19 years old, muscular, 5'10", brown-eyed brunette, humorous, laid-back, messy, romantic, kind, faithful, and a lover of music. He played the accordion. The setting, a snowy, blustery night in March 1948 in Rochester, New York. That day, the Lord pondered, who are the most 2 opposite people that I can put together? Well, that is why the Lord placed them at the same wedding where they became acquainted for the first time. Mom initially refused Dad's invitation for a ride in his new shiny 49 Ford, but later agreed and brought along her sister-in-law. Upon approaching a small hill on Scottsville Road during that ride, it was apparent that this lightweight Ford would need assistance to the top. Dad asked the girls to take the wheel while he pushed. Oh, the girls refused and instead jumped out to push, high heels and all. Dad knew at that moment that this was the girl worth chasing. From that day forward, the Lord's hands continued to shape and mold these 2 lives together. By giving Dad the courage to ask Mom out on a date after he had driven by her family home numerous times, They dated exclusively for 3 years and were engaged after Mom graduated from Spencerport High School in 1951. At this time, Dad was employed at Delco Products and Mom at DPI Kodak. Dad was soon drafted into the U.S. Army, so their wedding plans had to be halted until his return from the Korean War. On November 21, 1953, they were married at Gates Presbyterian Church. They lived initially in Greece, but soon settled in Gates, where they would raise their 3 children. Mom was a true homemaker and took great joy and satisfaction in keeping a clean and neatly organized home. If you knew Joyce, you knew this to be true, especially when it came to Dad. Dad was a bull in a china shop. He tried so hard not to get stains on him, but somehow he was just a stain magnet. This was a constant aggravation between them, but most of all, they would just most times end up laughing about it. Mom was strict and a force to be reckoned with if you got her mad. She expected us to behave, be polite, and be good students. She made sure we went to Sunday school and participated in extracurricular activities. She shuttled us to and from hockey practice, piano lessons, and dance lessons. She made many trips to the emergency room. All the ordinary mother things. All those things she did and we never appreciated until later. She would always say, "When you're a parent, you'll understand." You're right, Mom. Mom found pride in canning vegetables that Dad grew in their garden. She would spend days canning pickles, tomatoes, green peppers, onions. She would also clean the animals that Dad would bring home from hunting. Although she really didn't enjoy this task and was silently thankful it didn't happen all that often. She would not allow us to waste food and would make us take a little of everything that she had cooked. I can remember sitting alone in their kitchen after the dishes had been cleaned up and Cheryl and Doug were upstairs doing homework and Mom and Dad were listening to the news. I was still at the kitchen in the dark trying to finish cold squash. I still can't believe the dog wouldn't eat it, but whatever. If you knew Joyce, you also knew she loved to talk on the phone. She could talk for hours and always to know about your day. Her happenings were secondary and was never one to brag or complain. She loved to give advice and help solve your problems. She was not afraid to share her opinion, and therefore you always knew where you stood with her. If you knew Mom, you knew she loved to drive, and she loved children. So with that said, she was the perfect fit to be a bus driver, although she was small in stature. Being a Spencerport school bus driver allowed her to fulfill her dream of being a big rig driver. She was proud of this and would gladly share any of her harrowing experiences with you. Sadly, her bus driving career was cut short with health issues. Mom had many other jobs throughout the years until Dad retired from Delco and they moved to Florida. They spent 25 years there building a life where they made many wonderful friends. They started a neighborhood security group, and Mom was the secretary to the president, who just happened to be Dad. She loved working side by side with him and was always his cheerleader. She was happiest when she felt she was contributing and making a positive difference in the world. As time progressed and grandchildren multiplied, they decided to spend their summers in Byron and Southwoods Campground. 4th of July and Labor Day holidays were spent with family, cooking, swimming, fishing, and going on hay rides. It gave them the opportunity to have their grandchildren sleep over in their camper and play Skippo and Rummy Cube. If Mom was losing, she would always accuse Dad of cheating, as she hated to lose. Many fond memories and friendships were formed over the 10 summers there. She always felt it was the perfect solution to summering here, as it allowed them and their family to still have gatherings and make memories, and yet still have their own place. As Mom's health gradually deteriorated, she became a QVC junkie and quickly gained VIP status with them. The family was thrilled, as we would receive gifts throughout the year with instructions to not tell your father. Dad usually knew what she was doing on the phone in the bedroom, but never stopped her as it made her happy to give. Spring was always the time when thoughts of visiting them in Florida became reality. There were great times spent sightseeing and getting acquainted with all their friends, and it was apparent that they had acclimated very well to living in Florida. They resided there until 2011, when it became evident that they needed their family's help and relocated back to Rochester. We are so thankful and grateful for the wonderful memories we have of Mom and her great-grandchildren. Memories we wouldn't have had if they hadn't have moved back when they did. Another example of the Lord working his hands, or maybe ours. Over their 61 years of marriage, Joyce had many health issues, but they always made time to enjoy the good times and laugh with family and friends whenever her health allowed. May this love life story be a lesson to all that love is worth chasing, that life will be challenging and hard, and you will need family to get through, and marriage will be just like that day in 1948. Sometimes you will be the one pushing, or sometimes the one riding, but always together until death do you part.
I am Alicia Joyce's granddaughter. Those who love don't go away. They walk beside us every day. Unseen, unheard, but always near, still loved, still missed, and very dear. When I think of my grandmother and words to explain her, my mind started to race. I can only think of one word: perfect. She raised her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren with nothing but love. She loved to tell strangers of their successes and what was going on in their lives. She also had a marriage full of laughter that we all looked up to. I was very fortunate to grow up close to my grandma. Some of my fondest memories were spent over summer vacation, as Aunt Donna just said, at the trailer. It was mainly here where I think many of her traits rubbed off on me, some good and some not so good. I can honestly say she had an addiction to chocolate. I know I get my sassiness and my love of chocolate definitely from her. She would say, "Alicia, don't be ashamed. You know we can't live without chocolate." Grandma also got me into a love of games. She taught me a game called Rummy Cube that I soon became quite addicted to. The only problem, no one in the family would play but us two. She always said everyone else was lazy and didn't want to use their brain like us. She gave me her personal game in a very nice leather case that I will now cherish forever. Grandma got the family into a game called Skippo also. To make a long story short, it became a family competition where she always claimed Grandpa was a cheater. Grandpa just rolled up his sleeves, looked at us grandkids, and said, "I'm simply working my magic." As we all got older and life got more hectic with weddings and kids, Grandma never stopped giving advice. She told it like it was, whether we wanted to hear it or not, and I will always respect that. Through a hectic wedding planning year I had, I would call her for anything, and she always told me what was the most important thing: family and love. I hope you know how much we all loved you. I look forward to talking to you, teaching Juliana about her Gigi, and now I will look forward to grocery shopping. Every time I see a York peppermint mietti, I will know that you're right there with us. We love you.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Cheryl. I'm Donna's sister, Mom's daughter. The oldest daughter, yes. All right, my mom, my friend, my mentor. We were truly blessed to have the best mom we could ever ask for. You were always there with us no matter what, no matter what it entailed. We will cherish the moments of you and me mostly, of being my baseball coach, playing organ together, our QVC shopping sprees, watching your soaps together, teaching me how to drive a stick shift car, stain removing classes because of Dad's problem, ironing classes, sewing classes, makeup tips, but most of all, our mother-daughter talks, where we would lie on the bed for hours talking about the day or just laughing. You taught me how to be a better person, and you loved me unconditionally. You told me how you always You told me how you always felt that you were such a burden when it came to shower nights, pampering with your hair, taking wash, or just doing your medication. The truth was, it made me feel so good to be able to take care of you and to give back some of what you have always given me. Although I could never repay you for all the time, care, and love that you continue to give. Mom, you're a true inspiration as you endured so much physical pain and heart-wrenching emotional obstacles through your life. You never felt sorry for yourself, complained, or gave up. You truly were the meaning of the energizing bunny. I often wish that I could trade places with you so as to give you some relief, as it broke my heart to see you suffer so much. We can only hope that I can be half the woman, mother, wife, and grandmother that you were, and that we made you proud. Thank you for all you gave me and taught me. For this, I'm truly grateful. It's your time now to rest and reconnect with your loved and lost ones, although I'm not sure heaven is ready for you. Don't worry about Dad. Donna and I will take care of him as we did for you until the end. My love for you will always and forever continue, and I was truly grateful you were my mom. Rest in peace.
Amen. Now let us stand and sing together The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
you want to stay up here. It is. Please join with me in a time of prayer. Gentle God, creator and savior, giver and redeemer of life, we praise you that we are made in your image and reflect your truth and light. We thank you for the life of your child Joyce, for the love she received from you and showed among us. Hold and sustain Joyce's family and all those who have surrounded her with love during her life. We pray for her husband Dick, daughters Cheryl and Donna, their husbands Frank and Greg, her son Doug and wife Jean, for the love she shared with her grandchildren, Alicia and Michael, Philip, Christine, Ryan, and Jason, for her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren, for all of her family and her friends, those here at Gates Presbyterian Church, within the Gates Fire Department Women's Auxiliary Unit, for all those, oh God, we ask that your light surround each of us. Hear us now as we silently give you thanks for our own personal memories of Joyce. Today and always, we praise your name for sharing Joyce with us. Spirit of life, our love and hope is in you. That though Joyce's life has ended here on earth, we trust she is united with you in a place where there'll never be an end to love. In your name, we pray together using the words of our own traditions, the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our final hymn this morning comes from the Purple Hymnal, number 625, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
Alone are immortal, the creator and maker of all, and we are mortal, formed of the earth, and to earth we shall return. This the Holy One ordained when we were created, saying that you are dust, to dust you shall return. Yet even at the grave we make our song, singing Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. We ask, O God, that you give rest to your servant Joyce with all your saints, where there is neither pain nor sorrow nor sighing, but everlasting life. Amen. And friends, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you now and always. Amen.